A certain preciseness and formality in the composition of the prose was undoubtedly masculine, and struck her as well as being distinctly foreign.
"My grandmother has asked me to convey to you her desire that you will visit her, and that you will become her guest for a number of weeks. We understand that you are about to rejoin your father, Dr. Vesey, at the time of his death, and as evidence of our appreciation of his years of service at the clinic and devotion to our local people, we would be glad if you would look upon the island of San Segovia as your home, until such time as you feel able to make other plans."
The letter was signed Dominic Errol, and as she put it away in its envelope, Jacqueline suddenly felt as if 10 years had been abruptly blotted out of her life, and she was back on the island of San Segovia with her father, listening to his constant references to young Dominic, who, in spite of the fact that his family was rolling in wealth, and nothing in the nature of a career would ever be necessary for him, was at that time studying law in England. Jacqueline at that stage of her existence was not quite 12, and she was spending a long and unlooked-for holiday with her father because she was recovering from a particularly virulent form of chickenpox, and her mother had consented to be parted from her. Dominic Errol must have been about 23 or 24, and that would make him somewhere in his middle 30s now, while she was approaching her 22nd birthday. Another few months, if her father had lived, and she would have celebrated that birthday with him on the Spanish island of San Segovia, and they would have had a wonderful time together, doing all the things she had dreamed of. Her parents had parted when she was only very small, and it had been one of her mother's constant grievances that Jacqueline was so much more her father's daughter than her mother's. Jacqueline shut her eyes, and the little room above the antique shop in the busy London street where she worked, and where dear old Mr. Mapplethorpe permitted her to live, was blotted out, like the 10 years in her life, and she could see the island plainly, with its beautiful inlets and golden beaches, the brilliantly blue sea that pounded on the beaches, the deeper blue sky like an arc overhead, and the glory of the flowers inland. She could see the white-walled clinic where her father had worked, and his bungalow that adjoined it. She could see the road climbing upwards behind the clinic with the small modern villas encroaching on it, and the older cottages. Most of the villas were protected by high walls, overhung by masses of flaming growth, as well as oranges and lemons, and there were intriguing-looking curly wrought iron gateways set on the white walls, and grilles to the windows behind them. On moonlight nights, the whole of the island turned to silver, and the shadows were inky black by contrast. The sea murmured and lapped at the foot of the tall promontories, and the spicy flower scents were wafted hither and thither by breezes as soft as zephyrs. Jacqueline had been taken to tea once at the home of Dominic Errol, and had met his grandmother, a magnificent old lady with white hair and unmistakably Spanish eyes, who had worn a mantilla and had diamonds in her ears. It might have been the white hair or the style of dress, but she had seemed to Jacqueline to be extremely old, even for a grandmother, although her complexion had looked rather like a carefully preserved camellia. Her mannerisms and her air of aloofness had been very much the mannerisms and the air of a very grand lady of high degree, for she was a Cortina of Toledo, and Dominic's full name was Dominic Ricardo Cortina Errol, and the fact that his mother had married an Englishman had affected his life and upbringing in a very small degree, for his wealth came to him through the Cortinas, and his grandmother's whim had decided the pattern of his education and future way of living. Jacqueline felt a little bemused after that sudden mental flight back into the past, and then, when she looked again at the envelope containing her letter, she felt both amazed and sad. Amazed because the old lady had remembered her, and remembered her so kindly, and was willing to entertain her as a guest, and sad, because even if she accepted the invitation, she would never again see her father on San Segovia. He had died because he consistently overworked, and because he never allowed himself a break of any kind, but he had been appreciated. The letter proved that. Her mother had died 2 years ago because she had become a kind of hypochondriac, and when real ill health overtook her, she was not in a condition to combat it. She had been so bitter, too, about her husband's defections, and life had seemed to hold so little for her, that Jacqueline, when she lost her, had not felt as if a blow had caught her unexpectedly from behind as she had.